8:23 with the wake-up call. Vince Kahn in studio. He's author of the Foreclosure Defense Guidebook and is known in some circles as the modern Cape Crusader for homeowners. Who calls you that?
Yeah.
Just people around the country.
And, really? And you don't take offense at that?
No.
Yeah.
Do you have a cape?
No.
Do you want one?
No.
Okay. I was going to say, I can hook you up with a cape. We have one in the other room.
Well, if you've seen The Incredibles, they say capes is bad.
Yeah.
Cape's not good.
You're tripping over the things.
Absolutely.
You can grab and pull them over your head and punch you. It's that.
You almost need a cape to kind of keep up with where you've flown all over the country. You've lived. Kind of talk about your early childhood and where you've been.
Well, I'm Chinese by descent, Vietnamese by birth, and Australian by citizen, and I've been in the U.S. since 93.
93. Yeah. What brought you here?
Symantec. I worked for Symantec, and they transferred. I transferred over to the U.S. when they opened up their office here.
So the different places you've lived, I mean, do you remember much about Vietnam?
Yes, a bit, yes.
Of the places you've lived, Vietnam, Australia, obviously the United States, what places do you go? Yeah, if I was going to live anywhere, I would live there.
Honestly, I have been at quite a few places, and I choose to live in Eugene because it's such a wonderful place. It really is. Relative to the rest of the world, we have an incredible quality of life here. The people are wonderful. Mm-hmm. It's quite cheap, relatively speaking, to live in Eugene compared to other cities and other countries.
Mm-hmm. It is relative. I mean, we talked about this off the air. You said that Eugene is, you know, one of the greatest cities on the globe, and the high cost that people over here complain about, if they go to Europe or other parts of the world, well, we don't really pay much.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I just came back from Europe, and for a simple sandwich for lunch, it was $20. And you go to Burger King, it was $20. It's not like over here, you know, we have a meal for $5, and we're complaining that it's too expensive.
And I will say that Burger King is good, but it's not $20 good.
No, absolutely.
Where's your background? You're now writing a book called The Foreclosure Defense Guidebook, but where is your experience in?
My background is I'm actually a computer programmer. I created a lot of dot-com companies and whatnot, and I'm an online entrepreneur. And when I started doing a lot of businesses, and the last couple of ventures have failed, and as a result, I found myself into foreclosure. I lost a lot of money with my business ventures, and I basically robbed from Peter to pay Paul, and unfortunately those businesses didn't pan out, and as a result my properties went into foreclosure.
Mm-hmm. And so is that the single event that pretty much got you on this track of helping people and learning about foreclosure?
Absolutely. And I was in the same boat as millions of other families in America facing foreclosure, and I thought to myself, well, the only option was to sell my house or let it go into foreclosure, because I couldn't work with the bank. And then as I did more research, I discovered there's a lot of irregularities that's happening in the foreclosure scene. There's a lot of robo-signing, which basically means a lot of people who sign documents that they don't actually have the authority to sign documents for. There's securitization. What that means is when a loan has been closed, it actually goes into a pool that gets traded onto Wall Street. And what happens is when a loan gets traded onto Wall Street, the bank no longer owns that note. They are acting as a servicer for that note. And when they service the note, all they can do is collect the money. When in a foreclosure transaction, the person that can do the foreclosure is the person that owns the note. And if the bank doesn't own the note, they can't foreclose.
I remember that was so confusing when we bought our first house, and all of a sudden you're getting a bill from somebody else that wasn't in the picture, and you're like, I thought I was in business with this certain lender. All of a sudden you're getting something, and I think that confuses a lot of people.
Absolutely, there's this whole mechanism where loans get originated by one party, sold to another bank, who then puts it into a securitized pool that gets traded onto Wall Street. And the law says that they're required to transfer ownership of these notes through named endorsements, just like what you do in the back of a check. You endorse it to another party, and you sign it to that party as the loan gets transferred. This is almost never done in the banking industry.
So let me get this straight, what you're saying, that banks are foreclosing on homes that they don't actually own?
That's absolutely what I'm saying. And that's why I'm starting this movement, because a lot of people are getting foreclosed on, literally having their house stolen by these banks.
And so how is it then that they have the authority, I mean, granted to them by someone, how is it that they are foreclosing on these homes when they're not the ones who own them? I mean, are they being, for instance, for lack of a better term, contracted by whoever the real owner is to foreclose it for them? Are they acting as an agent? Or, I mean, how does that work?
They're representing as if they are acting as an agent, but in fact, they are not. And that's the fraud that's being perpetrated on the American people every single day. They don't have the authority because they've sold it to Wall Street, and oftentimes the note is not even delivered to these trusts that's mm-hmm. supposed to own it. And the ultimate ownership of the note
right.
gives the owner of the note the authority to foreclose. And yet that ownership of the note is never proven.
Now, how do you know, or how would one know, or can, if and let's say I'm one of those people that holds those securities, okay, and all those bundled mortgages. Can I, in that case, you know, give a bank acting on my behalf the authority to foreclose on, okay, these properties, these, you know, go foreclose on these. Can I give them, as the owner of that, the authority to do that or not?
You do have the authority to give that right over, as long as you can prove that you are the owner of the note. The problem, it gets very, very technical and very deep, but the problem is, you are not the owner as far as if you're a shareholder, right. then you only own a fraction of the note. So that leads to a technical problem because a note can only a owner of the property can only foreclose if they own the whole note in full. And if you're a shareholder, then you only own a fraction of the note.
So then for that group to foreclose, then what? It takes a vote of the shareholders to actually do that legally?
See, and that's the problem with securitization. That's when they put these instruments together, there's certain problems with it. And they decided we have this issue with double taxation. And I'm sure you're aware when at the end of the year, a company gets taxed mm-hmm. and then they distribute dividends and that dividend gets taxed as well.
Right.
These special purpose vehicles were created so that they avoid double taxation. And there's nothing wrong with that. Corporations do that all the time. When that happens, though, under the laws of the IRS, the owner of the obligation is the party that pays the taxes. Mm-hmm. And right now, the party that pays the taxes is the shareholders and not the owner, the central trust. So there's no central ownership of that note.
So it's just floating around out there and nobody is really quite sure who owns it.
That's exactly my point.
And isn't there or wasn't there, I'm trying to remember back, I think Bank of America was one of them, but it seems like wasn't there a suit that was being brought against at least a couple of the banks over just this issue?
There's many, many suits being brought against these lending institutions. There's suits brought against by the FDIC. There's suits brought to them against by the attorney generals. Mm-hmm. The attorney general in Washington, Florida, are suing these lending institutions. Utah. There's lots of irregularities that people in the higher-ups are enforcing. As a matter of fact, there's a bank consent order issued by the FDIC to stop these banks from foreclosing due to these irregularities. And yet, despite these orders, they're moving forward with their foreclosures.
Okay, so we've established that it's there, there's wrongdoing. By the way, Vince Kahn, author of the Foreclosure Defense Guidebook. What is the website?
You can come get a free copy of the book at www.consumerdefenseprograms.com.
Consumerdefenseprograms.com. Somebody finds out they're being foreclosed upon and they feel alone, but it's happening to millions out there, like you've said. Where do you start?
Get educated, and that's why I was found. You know, I didn't know anything. I'm a computer geek, and I started to do my research. The key is getting educated, and that's why I created this book and giving it away, because so many people need help. And that's why, you know, people call me the Caped Crusader, because I'm distributing information that's needed for people to defend their home. And fundamentally, a homeowner needs to know who actually owns the note, who owns the right title to the note to their property.
So as the first question, if you get a foreclosure notice, for instance, in the mail, or you think your bank is threatening to foreclose, I mean, is the first order of business to just go, Okay, prove to me that you own it.
Prove to me that you own the note and have the authority to foreclose on me. And that I've written a number of sample letters that people can come to my website and just download it and actually just modify it and then send it to their banks.
Now, are they required legally by law to provide that documentation to you?
It depends on which state. Unfortunately, in what's called the non-judicial foreclosure states, they're not required to, mm-hmm. But you start the chain of dialogue to get them to compel them to interact with you.
Is Oregon one of those non-judicial?
Oregon's one of those non-judicial states.
Okay, so in other words, if a bank wants to, then they could go. No, sorry.
I don't need to, and screw you. We're going to foreclose on you anyway.
Now, is there a way then that you can skirt around that and try to? Are you at that point then? Have to figure out who actually does own it?
Absolutely. And that's what we call a securitization audit, where you hire somebody to actually audit your loan to find out whether it's been securitized and to which trust it's securitized, so that you can then find out, compel the bank to say, hey, look, I've got evidence to say that you don't own the note and therefore you don't have the authority to foreclose. And unfortunately, what you will need to do is to then file a civil action against that lender to stop them from foreclosing on you.
That sounds like that could be, once you get lawyers involved, that all of a sudden sounds like it starts to get expensive.
It does. And that's why I teach people how to do this on their own without getting a lawyer. Ultimately, if you can't afford a lawyer, that's the best way to do that, to interact with that. And unfortunately, many of us in this situation don't have a lawyer, and that's why I've been doing it myself for a very long time.
Right.
I've had to learn the court process, the legal language, and actually just get educated, and that's why I'm teaching people how to educate themselves.
Well, I think probably a lot of people are asking right now, okay, did he keep his home or not?
I'm right now still in the middle of litigation, so I still have ownership of the home, and so that's really what matters, is how long you are able to stay in the home further. Let's say you push this event back for 6 months. Well, on average, let's say people pay $2,000 a month. Well, that's still $12,000 that you've saved that you can go towards your next home.
Vince Kahn, the Foreclosure Defense Guidebook. By the way, if you have any question that you kind of want to apply to your own circumstance, 541-485-KPNW, 5769. So the brunt of your philosophy, okay, the comment was made on the telephone that the first question should be, you know, have you lost, basically, are you in line to lose your house? I mean, how many payments are you behind? His point was that should be the first question out there. I assumed that was a given, and that you're in the situation where you're a couple of payments behind. How do you hang on to your house? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
So what ultimately all you can do is to write and interact with your lender to ask them these certain questions. Ask the trustee these questions about who owns the note and whether they actually have the authority to actually foreclose on. And you want to ask them to inspect the promissory note, because on the promissory note, there's a chain of title. There is a Massachusetts Supreme Court ruling that says that in order for a foreclosure to take place, the parties have to be properly endorsed and named on the notice of default, at the time of the notice of default.
Okay. So, but I guess going back to his point, you know, that if you're a couple of payments behind, regardless, I mean, shouldn't you at least try to work something out?
Absolutely. That's what we have. Yes, you should always try to do your best to work out with the bank. And you want to try and work with them, for example, do a loan modification process and actually try and get them to modify. Mm-hmm. Sadly, what we've discovered that there's a lot of loan modifications are a scam. And as a matter of fact, there's a recent interview with a ex-employee of a national servicer whose exact words were, "We are in the foreclosure business, not the loan mod business." These people were given incentives to put as much barriers as possible to stop people from getting a loan modification approved.
Mark, joining the conversation, you're on with Vince Kahn with the Wake Up Call. Go ahead.
Hi, Mark.
Mark?
Yes. Oh, sorry about that. Yeah. So question for you. We're in the process of going through a short sale right now. I don't know if you can answer any questions about that. But The bank is not being cooperative with the offer that the short sale had been offered. It's like, you know, it's off by a certain amount. And the bank, the negotiator, said they don't care about going into foreclosure, that they come out okay on it, whether it goes into foreclosure or not. So at what point do you go ahead and just allow the house to go into foreclosure? We're not at that point right now. We're trying to negotiate, I guess, with the short sale. But it doesn't look like the bank wants to truly negotiate. They're sticking to a certain price. And, you know, we're in a short sale because our house is worth less than what we owe on it. So I guess the question is, when do you let it just go into foreclosure?
Well, there's a lot of things that the bank does that you don't understand. One of the issues that we discover is there's this instrument called a credit default swap. It sounds kind of exotic. Essentially, what a credit default swap is it's an insurance policy against the event that the homeowner forecloses, goes into default. Oftentimes, these credit default swaps go as high as 30 times the face value of your loan. And so what happens is, in the event of your default, the bank gets paid 30 times the value of your home. And so the incentive for the bank is to foreclose on your home and not let it go into a short sale. They don't want to get a short sale because they get shorted on the amount that was given to the homeowner. So they don't want to work with you. Sadly, so the issue is you're negotiating with somebody who has no interest and sometimes, frankly, no authority to offer you that discount.
Right.
And so the only thing that you can do is to prove that they have no interest and get a securitization order to say, hey, look, this loan's been securitized. You don't have the authority to give me a short sale offer, and you've been misrepresenting the fact that you do. And essentially, you kind of have to bring an action against the home, the lender, before you can actually get this to move forward. It's a very tough situation for homeowners to be in.
Is there a specific type of lawyer that handles this kind of thing, though? I mean, because lawyers specialize. You have criminal defense attorneys and torts. And I mean, you could, you know, I mean, go down the list.
Absolutely.
So is there such a thing as a real estate lawyer?
There is such a thing as a real estate lawyer, but sadly, they don't understand this issue. Also, the best people to understand this issue is a litigation attorney or a bankruptcy attorney. And the other option that a lot of homeowners do is they actually go into bankruptcy. There's a special provision in the bankruptcy code where a secured creditor is required to provide perfected chain of title. It's called Rule 3001D under the bankruptcy code. And that requires them to provide a chain of title proving that they are, in fact, a secured creditor, and they have 90 days from the day of the creditors' meeting to prove up. And if they don't prove up, then they forever lose that ability to call themselves a creditor. And as we know, they're a servicer, not a creditor, so they can never come up and prove that.
Subject a lot of people are going through, making a lot of people angry out there. Jerry, online with Vince Kahn on KPNW. Jerry, what you got?
Yeah, for Vince there, I kind of feel when I'm hearing him talk, he's kind of like those people who try to tell you you don't have to pay taxes because there's no law saying you have to. I think it would be better to write a book on how to avoid foreclosure in the first place. And I understand that there are a certain number of people out there who, through no fault of their own, end up in a position where they don't own with it, where they can't make their payments. In too many cases, these people have spent the money that the equity in their home. They bought more home than they can afford. And they do owe the money. So if what you're saying is that they can get out from underneath paying that loan, that costs everybody else money when they do that. If they truly do owe the money and they've signed a document saying that they were going to make the payments and they were going to pay it off, it's their responsibility to do that. If they've lost their house because they've made poor decisions, I don't want the taxpayers being on the hook.
Absolutely,
their decisions.
You make an excellent point. Thank you so much for bringing that up. The problem, the issue we're talking about here is not about avoiding your obligation, and we are always should pay our taxes. The problem, what we're talking about, is the due process of the law is protected under the Constitution. The party that forecloses on you must be the party that's entitled to that relief. And what we're saying in this argument is that these banks are not the party that actually have the authority to do the foreclosure. They don't own the obligation, and therefore they're not entitled to the foreclosure. I'm not saying... Now, if a party that can provide proof that they are actually the owner of the obligation, by all means, absolutely, they're entitled to that relief. The problem is, in most of the situations, they're not that party. So I'm 100% with you. This is not about a scheme to avoid getting out of paying your debt. The problem is, it's who actually has the authority to do so.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're not negotiating with the person that actually owns the debt or holds the actual title to the house or the mortgage,
it amounts to theft.
Yeah, it does. I mean, you should know who actually does own it and be able to negotiate with them, as opposed to second party who really has no say to the property whatsoever.
In the legal,
that to me makes perfect sense.
In the legal standing, what in legal context, that the language is called standing. In other words, who has the actual standing, the authority, the real party of interest to actually do the action and foreclose on the property.
Vince, we're up against the clock. Will you come back?
Absolutely.
You're in Eugene, and the website consumerdefenseprograms.com, correct?
Correct. It's consumerdefenseprograms.com.
Okay. And you can get the book that you... how long did it take for you to get the book written?
I wrote the book in about a week.
You wrote the book?
Yes.
In a week?
Yes.
Now I'm going to check for spelling.
Well, obviously, I wrote it in a week, and there was editing and whatnot involved.
Okay. Gotcha.
But yeah, and people can get the book for free, because I want to spread this message out to let people know about the discrepancy. It's absolutely free. Go to my website, download it, and read and judge for yourself.
The Cape Crusader for Homeowners. Vince Kahn in studio. Thank you, my man.
Thank you.
We'll have you back for sure. 8:45, Pie Takeover coming up on 1120 KPNW.